Now, the overview is like this. Conversion rate can be a misleading metric in e-commerce, and revenue per visitor is more relevant in e-commerce, but sometimes when you improve the conversion rate, that goes up. A CRO expert or the agency can be happy, but the company can lose money. And that's clear why, because if you sell the suboptimal products, which are having a lower margin, and if you improve the conversion rate, the company cannot be profitable. Hello there, I'm Valentin Radu and welcome to my session. Today I'm going to speak with you about the transition from conversion rate optimization to customer value optimization. To set the stage a bit, I've been spending 12 years doing conversion rate optimization. If I'm going to look behind, I was pushing this kind of testimonials to my first e-commerce company, which I've co-founded back in 2006. So we were struggling with the ad costs, and we considered, let's do something different to improve the conversion rate. And we've decided, let's bring this type of geolocated testimonials. Those were for real, but of course the photos were fake. However, this initiative delivered results. So basically, if you were from a specific city from our country, our beautiful country, Romania, which is bordering Ukraine, yep, peace to everyone, we managed to increase the conversion rate. So basically, if you were from Brasov or from Timișoara or from Constanța, you've been able to trust our company more. So that was the reasoning behind. So mainly after that, we've changed a lot the website. So we've started to trigger other stuff, of other type of experiments, like dynamic discounts based on the car price and on the car maker, right? So if you owned a truck, the price would have been different. And then we've made some homepage radical redesign. And then we've changed the form where you've inserted your data with instant gratification, and we've made the on-exit overlays. However, these kind of things helped us to get to a 60% uplift in the conversion rate. So that was a fantastic result, which made me realize, you know what? There are many other companies willing to do the same things that I am doing. So that turned out to be the ancestor of OmniConvert. So that technology that we've built in-house turned out to be developed further and further, and something after a few thousands of lines of code and after 9 years in the making, we've built Explore, right? So OmniConvert is now a suite for e-commerce companies. It's a conversion rate optimization tool. We have surveys, A/B testing, website personalization, and so on. If we look at the results, it's clear that we are making something good. So we, as you can see, our rating, it's outcompeting Optimizely's and VWO's and Kibo X Monetate, despite the fact that we have a way less capital that we raised. We've worked with a lot of companies, we've understood the mechanics of conversion rate optimization, and at some point we realized, you know what, let's look at the performers. So since 2013, we've got more than 20,000 websites. This is actually an outdated stat, but I haven't got enough time to change it. So we had also access to more than 60,000 A/B testing experiments. And what we learned is that the companies that are moving the needle dramatically are using qualitative and quantitative data as well, and they are starting to see results after they deployed at least 10 experiments. So it's habit forming for companies as for people, right? So if you go to the gym every now and then, eventually you will become fit. So that happens with the companies which are moving dramatically the needle. So that put in context, if we look at the other ones, the most companies gave up after a single experiment. The ones that truly succeeded, as I said, they are deploying more experiments. And one other finding was that only one out of five experiments is a winning experiment. However, after a few years in the making, there is this fatigue, right? So it's, I call it the experimentation fatigue. So no matter how cool is the user experience, no matter how great is the design, no matter how persuasive is your copy, and no matter how consistent you are at deploying tests, you are reaching a plateau. If you are a mid-sized company or even a large company, you can't move the needle dramatically as you used to. So there are some moments when you are getting stuck. And talking with one of our customers back in 2017, we realized that they are stuck as well. So they couldn't move the needle anymore. And our realization was that A/B testing is finding the one size that fits all, but not all are fitting to the same experience. So basically, change is happening, right? So the assumption is what hurts us, as we can see in this image over here. So things are changing, and using the same assumptions as in the past is not going to help us move the needle anymore. So
this is Romo Santiago from Experiment Nation. Every week, we share interviews with and conference sessions by our favorite conversion rate optimizers from around the world. So if you like this video, smash that like button and consider subscribing. It helps us a bunch. Now back to the episode.
That helped us, that experience, that conversation with our customer, which was being stuck, helped us to understand their business more. So we wanted to investigate, to find out, you know what, but what you are truly needing, are you after conversion rate or what are you after? And I'm going to present you these dominant numbers in e-commerce as I've understood on my own entrepreneurial skin and by working with dozens of other companies, mid-size and large companies in the e-commerce space. So we all know that the dominant numbers are these ones, right? So every company out there is after profit, especially now when the economy is changing and the recession is already here. But profit means revenue minus cost, right? But let's look behind that. Let's look at what's causing these things to happen. So if we look one level deeper, we will understand that revenue is actually the number generated by number of customers and by the customer lifetime value. So how many customers you are bringing and how much they are spending, right? So basically how much they are spending down the line throughout their entire lifespan. If we look at the customers, we will know that traffic multiplied by the conversion rate, especially in this online game, it's pretty much clear. But if we look at the customer lifetime value, we will identify some other things which are not so obvious. So people are not that interested in these kind of things, like customer retention, purchase frequency, average order value, and gross margin. Now, if we look even more deeper than that, we will realize that customer retention and purchase frequency is being affected by other things like net promoter score, so meaning the customer experience, then average days between the transactions, so how many days are passing between one transaction and to the other, the number of orders, and of course the product return rate. If we look on the other part of the spectrum, at the cost, every e-commerce out there are having this type of cost, these four types of costs. The COGS, cost of goods sold, the customer acquisition cost, the general and administrative, and the R&D, right? The website, the development, and whatever. As we can see, gross margin is the common denominator here. This is contributing to the COGS and also to the customer lifetime value. So this is a very important and dominant number. But if we look below the customer acquisition cost, one mistake that many companies are doing is that they are focusing solely on CPA and ROAS, but there are other things to consider like the wages, the tool cost, the agency fees, and the overheads as well. So customer acquisition cost is more important than ROAS because it's giving you the full picture. So these are the seven dominant numbers in e-commerce: traffic, conversion rate, customer acquisition cost, average order value, gross margin, purchase frequency, and customer lifetime value. Depending on the business model, some are more important than the others. Depending on the knowledge of the optimizer and of the marketer or the business leader, they are focusing on the first four, maybe first five, but few people are focusing on purchase frequency and customer lifetime value. I've been drawing my mouth since 2017 about this topic, about customer retention, customer lifetime value, customer journey, customer experience, and so on. So basically, I've made a lot of discussions, conversations, research towards how to improve customer lifetime value until I had this aha moment, right? So customer lifetime value truly, truly matters. So I've worked with that company. Remember that from 2017, they were a large shoe retailer in Central and Eastern Europe, and they were facing a fierce competition, and also they were willing to spend a lot of money on TV campaigns because they wanted to keep their customers. Now, conversion rate means two things: new customer acquisition rate and the customer retention rate. There is a mistake over here, and I can't fix it, so I'm going to just pass over as if nothing happened, right? That's the attitude. So what we realized by working with them is that Google Analytics wasn't enough for us to give us a clear picture about the customer behavior, not about the visitor behavior. So that's why we've started to do online surveys to understand what's going on. But we've decided to go deeper into their SQL and to do some clustering, to do some segmentation about their customers. And that led us to do RFM segmentation. So after using this type of methods, we've had an aha moment and we've hit the jackpot. RFM truly matters, and it's very, very important for any e-commerce company that's having enough customers, and it's most important for companies which are in certain industries like fast-moving consumer goods, grocery, retail, food, everywhere where the purchase frequency is high enough. So focusing a bit about on RFM, RFM stands for recency, frequency, and monetary value. So instead of looking at all the customers the same, you split them according to their recency scores, their frequency scores, and their monetary scores. So basically, you answer to these questions: how recently did the customer purchase? And if he purchased very, very soon, very, very recently, you give him or her a high score in terms of the recency. On the frequency as well, the more frequency, the better; the higher monetary value, the better. So let me explain you how it works. So let's say we cluster this type of customers and we have new passions, as we call them, right? So they place a single order, so their recency score is high, their frequency score is low, and their monetary score is high, right? So they have the highest revenue despite the fact that they placed only a single order and they are pretty recent customers, right? After 30 days, most of them will not buy again. Some of them will place another order and they will turn into potential lovers. And some of them will place two orders and they will turn into lovers, right? After 90 days, some of them will not do anything, 70% of them. Some of them will not place another order despite the fact that they've placed another one in the first 30 days. 15% of them will place another order and they will become lovers, and 5% of them will turn into soulmates. Now, after 6 months, let's say, 65% of them will turn into Don Juans, like one-night standers. They had a lot of potential, but they haven't made anything after that. So that's why we call them the Don Juans, right? Then ex-lovers will be the ex-lovers, like the name says, right? So they will not place another order despite the fact that they've placed one plus two plus two, five orders. Then the lovers will place another order while the soulmates will still be there with the five or six orders. So basically, that's the dynamic with the adjustments that you can consider, because depending on what the company is selling, the data should be different. So not 30 days, maybe 20 days, maybe 60 days, but the behavior is pretty much the same. Some customers are better than the other. And the best customers out there, we call them the soulmates, the ones that bought the most. So basically in this real example, 3% of the customers generated 12% of the revenue, and they have the highest recency score, the highest frequency score, and the highest monetary score. Now, as you can see over here, the chances to place the next order are growing as are going down. The chances to place the next order are higher as the number of orders is going up. So the more orders you are placing, the more chances you have to place another order. As in this example, from the first order to the second, the chances are 23.6%. From the second to the third are 38%, so 61% higher. From the third to the fourth, there are 47%. So the more occurrences of the orders, the more easy is the habit to kick in for the customers. And basically, you also need to realize when these orders are being placed. So after one order, So after the first order, after 24 days, the chances are 80%. After 193 days, the chances are only 20%. So you need to take into account both the recency and the frequency. So, and in order to improve this, you need to understand the qualitative and the quantitative data. So that's exactly what we've did with that customer. We've blended the qualitative research with the quantitative data, and that led to some initiatives. So we optimized their product assortment, we improved their acquisition by focusing on their best customers, because we realized, and they realized as well, that their best customers were not from big cities, but they were coming, their soulmates, they were coming from smaller cities. So less than 30,000 inhabitants, because they weren't having shopping malls in their cities, and that's why they've preferred to buy online from their store. So that being said, that dramatically improved their marketing. So it was an impact not only on the website, but on the whole marketing game. And that also led to them orchestrating different email campaigns according to the customer segments, because relevance is the name of the game. So in order to move the needle, you need first to be relevant. And that also led to website personalization according to the RFM segment. So 6 months later, we managed to achieve a 30% uplift in the customer retention rate. And that was fantastic, because the new customers were having 30%, were returning at a 30% more, with a 30% more rate.
If you know of any conversion rate optimizers or growth experts you'd like to see on our show, let us know at guests@experimentnation.com.
So basically, that helped us to understand that it's time to turn the OmniConvert ship towards customer value optimization. So from this remote island, because back in 2017, 2018, not too many people were talking about conversion rate as they are talking right now. And that helped us to realize that this is the promised land of customer value optimization, because our customers need more than just optimizing the website. And that turned out into building other solutions. So at this moment, our solutions look like this. We capture first-party data then from any e-commerce or data source, right? So it can be from an e-commerce platform or from a data lake, or it doesn't matter. Then we process the data and we build automatically these RFM segments that are dynamically changing according to the customer behavior. And it's allowing the merchants to understand these key metrics, but also these are fantastic for optimizers, because those are crucial metrics when you want to understand the customer behavior. Then, once you process the data, you generate actions and automations in order to improve the customer lifetime value. So you can build audiences in OmniConvert Reveal, and then you can push this kind of data with the various automations to ad tools, to run custom ad campaigns or lookalike campaigns to acquire customers like the best ones. You push this to email tools such as Klaviyo. You push this to OmniConvert Explore so that we can run NPS surveys and personalize the website, to SMS tools or to customer support tools or customer loyalty tools. So basically, it all starts with the relationship between the customer and the company. So that also led to us understanding the CVO methodology. And let me see if I can, yep, I can do this. So the CVO methodology is what we've put together. So it all starts with monitoring what matters: customer acquisition cost, customer lifetime value, NPS, and whatever. So these are customer-centric metrics. Then we prioritize the CVO activities by using the e-commerce growth formula. It's basically calculating the impact of various things from the dominant numbers. So if we would be increasing the traffic, conversion rate, customer retention, purchase frequency by 20%, what's going to happen with that business? Then you do RFM segmentation. So you cluster customers and you get insights about which are the best and the most valuable customers, what makes them buy, what makes them come back, what stops them from coming back, and so on. With the qualitative research, which is crucial, you understand the why behind this behavior. So you are doing NPS, online surveys, jobs to be done interviews, chat transcripts, and whatever. So you dig into what the customers are actually saying to understand their jobs to be done, their reasons, and their frictions that stop them from buying again. Just a second, because I'm freezing here. There were 40 degrees yesterday here in Bucharest, so you can't imagine. All right, so after doing this, you end up understanding who's the ideal customer profile. So who are the best customers? And then you analyze their buying patterns based on the brands, categories, cities, and locations. Where are the most sticky customers coming from? What kind of products they are buying? What kind of categories? Basically, analyzing the customer lifetime value and the RFM segments based on these different variables. And after that, with this type of insights, we end up doing a customer journey mapping and fixing what's broken, because many times the job of a customer value optimization expert is to fix what's broken despite the website and the above marketing, right? It's about improving customer service, optimizing the product assortment, eliminating all sorts of frictions. So mainly after that, there is the CVO strategy. So after fixing what's broken, the next step is the ongoing optimization, which requires this type of steps: acquisition, conversion, onboarding, prevention, and reactivation via all these channels. So mainly, we've tweaked this methodology and we've applied it to more than 14 different customers that we work closely with to nail down the best methodology out there. So now, the overview is like this: conversion rate can be a misleading metric in e-commerce, and revenue per visitor is more relevant in e-commerce, but sometimes when you improve the conversion rate, that goes up. A CRO expert or the agency can be happy, but the company can lose money. And that's clear why, because if you sell the suboptimal products, which are having a lower margin, and if you improve the conversion rate, the company cannot be profitable. And that's why it's mandatory to monitor other things which are more impactful, like customer lifetime value versus customer acquisition cost. This is mandatory to monitor and to understand, as this is one of the main levers of growth. And that means you need to focus on acquisition, conversion, and retention. The consequences, if you focus solely on the conversion rate, is that you are reaching a plateau after a certain time. So after you get the low-hanging fruits, after you go after the big fish, you end up reaching the ceiling. So it becomes too expensive for mid-size and large companies to hire and keep so many talented people. And another consequence is that website tweaking is not what the strategic agencies want to do on the long run. So you want to do meaningful and impactful things. And that's why you need to go beyond the website. And many companies are already doing it. We are just articulating that this is around customer value optimization, because this is impacting the whole company. So customer value optimization means, and it starts with, as you can see, with customer research. So we have the acquisition phase, when you behind with the end in mind, with the best messages, the best creatives, which are aligned with the jobs to be done by the products that you're selling and with the ideal customers that you're after. So that leads to better targeting, better creatives, and a higher ROS. Then on the conversion side of things, thanks to the customer research, you end up improving the user experience, the landing pages, and of course the conversion rate. And on the retention side of things, customer research and this approach allows you to do better onboarding, better remarketing, and of course improve the customer retention. There are four types of different CVO campaigns, and the effort, as you can see on the acquisition campaigns over here, is high, but for the other ones is pretty low if you compare with the acquisition campaigns where you have multiple channels, multiple creatives, and so on. But the impact based on the purchase frequency is getting higher as the purchase frequency is higher as well. So for a purchase frequency of 1.2, where you are selling furniture or mattresses that you are buying every, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 7 years, the impact of the acquisition campaigns is very high. The impact of the onboarding campaigns is medium, because you need to have people being pleased so that you reach amplification and word of mouth through them. And then the prevention and reactivation campaigns are having a low effect. Then, if you go further at 1.2 to 1.5 purchase frequency, the impact of the acquisition campaigns is high, but the onboarding and the prevention is getting medium. On the beauty, fitness, and apparel, you've got the drill, right? Right. So basically, if the purchase frequency is higher, then you should be focusing on other type of campaigns as well. The worst from my experience so far are the reactivation campaigns, especially when you don't have a huge amount of customers that you are trying to reactivate, which means that the recency is the most the best indicator. So now with this type of RFM based campaigns, you end up having different approach to different customer segments. So basically, you have the soulmates and the lovers, the best customers, where the acquisition and prevention campaigns are the ones that you should be doing. Acquisition in the sense of using the customer data, using the insights from your best customers and using them as a lookalike audience to acquire more like the best ones. Then on the new passions, the new customers with the high potential, you do acquisition and onboarding campaigns. For the apprentice as well, you do onboarding campaigns. For the don't lose them, the ones which are having a high potential but they are starting to churn, you do prevention campaigns, as well as with the about to dump you customers. And with the lost customers, you do reactivation campaigns with the don't want, ex-lovers, and breakups. Now, what it's understated is the impact of the customer research. So with the don't wants and ex lovers, you get a lot of insights from them. Now, if you want to learn more about the customer value optimization, we have here a free guide. You can go on this link and you can find more about it. So now let me tell you the four reasons why the CRO experts are in the pole position to nail customer value optimization. First of all, they are data driven. Yeah. So you already have this type of data-driven approach. So you understand that you need to do things in order to move some important numbers, and you need to look at the data, not always come up with the crazy ideas. Second, they have an experimentation mindset. So they have this approach of, let's say, being rejected or dropping the ball and learning from that, because sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. Then they know how to blend psychology with copy, with data and user experience. So basically, this is an art, and my personal belief is that we should go beyond the website. We should apply this type of things beyond the website itself. And last but not the least, they have an optimization mindset. And at some point, they will need to break the ceiling sooner or later. So mainly that's in the DNA of an optimizer. And that's why they will go beyond the website sooner or later. So I'm not having that voice, but I can try. I have a dream to stop seeing disconnected companies, silos, yeah, which are not working together. And customer lifetime value measurement and monitoring is going to align those companies, those silos. No more broken customer journeys, no more irrelevant websites, no more suboptimal customer services and short-term website tweaks, and no more boring emails. And that's the United Kingdom of CVO, and we should be going together. And that means having optimization at different level, at the product level, at the customer experience level, at the customer acquisition level, because we need to start with the end in mind, and at the email marketing level. And the agencies of the future will either work with other smart agencies which are nailing down these components, either do those things themselves. So if you are in this game, welcome abroad. If you want to learn more about customer value optimization, last year I've teamed up with some fantastic professors like Bob Mesta, which is the pioneer in the jobs to be done methodology, with Dennis Yu, which is an artist in their customer acquisition, Val Geisler from Klaviyo, and Carl Gillis, which is the most funny person in the whole digital landscape globally. And basically we've put together a fantastic program. So as you can see here from Leonard Castro, he's saying it himself, right? So he learned a lot about how to nail down e-commerce and how to optimize the e-commerce game. Now, if you want to learn more about, I have a surprise for you. You can use eNation 50, that's eNation 50, to get a 50% discount at the CVO Academy. So you can, if you are ready to level up your optimization game, I invite you to use this discount and to learn more about customer value optimization, because it's going to give you an integrative understanding about what optimization means. And that was it. Thank you for watching this session. If you want to get in touch with me, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm talking a lot about this optimization of the customer lifetime value and other things related to e-commerce, or you can write me an email. And yes, thanks a lot for watching, and all the best from Bucharest.